Lyle had provoked me, and used to be when Lyle would provoke somebody, especially a guy like me, it'd be fighting time. But now he's challenged me. He challenged me a couple weeks ago, a month ago, and he said, you know what? Someone asked him, how many times you relapse? He said, I never relapse, because I never got out of the game. And it stuck with me. It really stuck with me, because see, we as convicts, we believe that we keep falling back and we'll never get to fall or continue to move forward. Oh, some of them on the run right now, I've already relapsed. I'm not going to go stand in front of the judge. You know, I'm not going to take my repercussions. But did you really transform your heart? Uh-oh. We have a partner, a brother of Dream Center, that has went through, happened to turn himself in. He got released for probation. Then parole found out, and he went and turned himself again in for parole. And dude, the first time in my life at 60 years, the parole department called me, and based upon just what's going on, they're pulling the parole warrant and releasing him tomorrow to come back to our house. Well, that's only God. That's only God. But I tell you that, why? Accept your responsibility for the choices you made. And here's how you're going to do it. You transform your heart. You transform your heart. We're all convicts' capability. But have we really changed our hearts? So tonight's called Transformed Hearts. Imagine that. Going to fit right in. Amen? Amen? I'll be here till midnight. Don't make me pull up my drawers. In order for us to be effective in service to others for Christ. Did you hear that? It ain't about us. It's how are we going to make a difference to somebody else? We are God's servants. Who better to talk to somebody but an ex-con that's loving Jesus? That's why every mentor in here and the founding fathers in here, they were serving Jesus Christ because they had a transformed heart. In order for us to be effective in our service to others for Christ, it requires us to be changed on the inside. Uh-oh. It's not about our outer appearance. It's about our hearts. It's about our hearts. I went to a new church this weekend, and I'm sitting there and worshiping Christ, and my phone rings a lot, praise God. But I turned it upside down so it didn't bother me. You know, I did that. Well, my wife, she's got this thing called an Apple Watch or something like that. So when her phone rings or her body shakes or whatever, I don't even know. I haven't got one. But she said, read this. And I want to read this to you. Because, see, this is what transformed hearts will do. And we're capable of having this, amen? Okay, so my daughter-in-law sends this to me and my wife. It says, just so you know, I have Leanne, who is my 17-year-old granddaughter that we just prayed for. She's having severe chest pains and abdominal pain. Her blood pressure is sky high. She wants her grandpa. She's bawling. She don't even want her dad. Why do I say that? Because, see, I changed my heart. I destroyed my son's life and left him for the dope gang. I left him to raise himself. I raised him to raise my grandkids himself. But, see, he's been out here off of dope for 14 months now. 15 months, praise God. But see, here's why I tell you this. I changed my heart. And it opened the door for my family to start coming back. Brothers and sisters, you have to change your heart. Lyle brought it up. Oh, I dress up good. Get up into church. Get up there and to get on out on the MMP program. You know what that is, right? Marijuana maintenance program? Yeah. Or the crack pipe, whatever it was. And then they say at Sunday, how you doing this? I'm great. be looking at who I'm going to take to be the easy target next time, because our hearts hadn't changed. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, but the Lord said, the Lord said it. Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You can't fool me. You can fool me. I don't care. I really don't care. I'm going to love you anyway. I'm going to love you anyway. I'm going to call the brother we are talking about and love him anyway. Because, see, he hasn't changed his heart. But we have the capability of changing our hearts and keep them changed to be able to be a hand up to other people, making a difference. Once we made a decision to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we become a new person. The old person is gone. My brother said it so well. He said, you got to get out and get over here. You got to leave that life. You got to be done with it. You got to be done with it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Do you believe it? Amen. You playing. You playing with that cord over there? I sat in there this morning, sat in there this afternoon, all throughout the day. Can I use you for an example, Joe? Thank you. Joe did something, going to get his hand slapped. The judge gave him so much grace because his heart had changed and he was honest. Not just honest in the courtroom, he was honest to his probation officer before he even had to go in there. He had a choice. He had a choice. And that judge, I thought she was going to graduate you today, dude. I was like, woo, she loved him. But dude, he took responsibility. He acted in his probation officer and had that to rent space in his heart for days. And dude, he was broken. But see, his heart was right. You're going to mess up. You're going to mess up. But fess up to it. You don't got to mess up. Don't take me wrong. Don't think I... Donnie said I could go relapse. Shut up. I'll tell you right now, shut up. I did not say that. That if he writes that on this video thing you hear too, I'm deleting it. But you're accountable. Praise God, man. I was so proud of you, dude. I mean, praise God. Give him a round of applause for being honest. All right, and here's how it goes. Not only did he give us a new life, but a new heart. Come on, man. He gave us a new heart, brothers and sisters. Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart of flesh. Woo! Man, some of you guys are like, man, you don't know what I went through. Man, I can't do this. I don't know none of us that went through more than God did for us. I don't know none of us who got beat for you and me. Not only beat a little bit, but beat to where he died on the cross for us. Come on, man. I tell you right now, bro, if someone come in that door right now with an AK and started shooting us and said, I'll only shoot one of you that is ready to stand up for the whole room. Otherwise, I'm massacring all of you. Which one are you going to go up to that door? I want to know because I'm standing behind you. Dude, Jesus would. Jesus did. It's a joke, kind of laughing, because I'm just that kind of a guy. But bottom line is, who's getting first to the door? I got a wife and kids at home. I might want a plea bargain. Jesus took it, dude, for you and for me. And our past family, our today family, in our future family. He did it, dudes and dudettes. This is our reality, but we have to choose to live in it. It's not automatic. You ain't going to just get up one morning and say, okay, I got to change heart. You got to make a choice. Every day, get up to the Word. Get up and absorb this Word. I got a Bible, dude, that watch. It fall apart. But I don't. But I don't. My wife said, let me get that redone for you. Don't touch it. Because that Bible right there, man,'s helped me get to where I'm at today. A new heart. Receiving Christ doesn't remove the desire within us to sin. Did you hear me now? Just because we know Him don't mean that we're going to keep doing what's right. We got a choice. We got a choice. Satan ain't giving up, bro. He ain't giving up. I call one Elmo and one Isaiah. Elmo, my little demon, and Isaiah, my little Christian buddy. Who do I feed? I listen to Elmo. We're going to get in trouble. I pray with Isaiah, and he shuts that voice down more and more every day. He shuts it down. Man, can you imagine walking me, doing what I've been doing on these streets 10, 14 years now, and see me coming out of Cap and Cork with a case of beer? Can you?
No.
Or wait, here's a better one. Coming out with a pack of those little cigarillo things that you roll your blunts with and say, oh, I'm just smoking these now. I don't even smoke. I'm telling you, man, I'll be like, come on, man. And I live down by the hood. I go into those stores down there. That's my peeps. Don't be a laughing stock to yourself. If you're walking it out, walk it out. Lyle, Jose, man, half you brothers in here, y'all know. We've been the other side. And Lyle made that planted that seed. Get out. Step into your new life with a new heart. That's what it takes. Willpower ain't going to do it. Woo, don't get me started. I'll preach. This is our reality. But we have to choose to live in it. It's not automatic. Receiving Christ doesn't remove the desire within us to sin. That has to sink in. It doesn't. It doesn't stop the world and ultimately the enemy from speaking lies and getting us to conform to its standards. If you're sucking yourself up in the Word of God till your Bible falls apart, I bet you can battle. I bet you can battle. I know you can, because see, then maybe your granddaughter or your son is going to need you. Say, I need my grandpa. I walked in that ER room. I was at that church, and my wife showed me that. I looked like Superman or O.J. Simpson in the old days, running out the door of that church. Out the door, man, running, running. Got down there to the hospital, walk in that room, dude, and she's like, hey, you know, girls get excited, man, when they're hurt. Got some breathing bag there, trying to hyperventilate and stuff, and I said, no, in the name of Jesus. I anointed that baby with my oil, laid my hand on her forehead, and the demons just had to flee. I watched that little baby's blood pressure go. I watched her little heart go. I watched it. But what if I wasn't ready? What if I still had a hard heart and my son wasn't here forgiving me a year plus to be in that ER with my grandbaby? Got to change your hearts, family. Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by, ready? The way you think. Yeah. Woo! Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. God's word, family. We have to trust that God is working in us to accomplish His purpose. Sometimes it's going to be a hard day. You allowed it to be a hard day. Make them a hard moment. When them hard moments come and you want to give someone a piece of your mind or slap a knowledge knot on them, pray for them. Pray for them. You can't change them. You can't change them. But you can be a godly man like Job was and take responsibility for yourself and get back on out and doing what you got to do. Those of you in a halfway house, I don't wish a halfway house on nobody. I really don't. God's blessed me with running a transformational house. These brothers are transformed. They are transformed. 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 Because they got a relationship with Jesus Christ. AA ain't going to work. I'm sorry. AA ain't going to work. NA? Eh, ain't going to work. I do believe in Celebrate Recovery. Why? Because it's Christ-centered. Only thing going to break this down with your family is getting a relationship with Jesus Christ and getting a different heart. That's it. Amen. Now, don't go telling Fran Gull or Wendy David. Donnie Foster said, I don't have to go to 12 steps no more. I didn't say that. I did not say that. But what I am saying is if you need the Celebrate Recovery steps, I got those. I got those. And they tell you how to do it with the Bible. And if you know how to do it with the Bible, I can't even open my own thing. And you need those, the 12 steps. Christ, yeah, read them yourself. You know what I mean. All right. Philippians 1:6. And I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. You ain't never going to get to the finish line till you're up there. That's finish line. That's it. Down here, you are going to have troubles. Guarantee it. As soon as you walk out that exit sign, it should say entrance. I've said this 100,000 times before. There's a battle. There's a battle out there. This is cool. We all wanted to be here. We wanted that good food Don's wife made. But see, you wanted something else. You wanted your heart changed. It also matters what we feed ourselves. What are we letting in? What are we watching, listening to, allowing into our mind and hearts? That is extremely important. Extremely important. Luke 6:43-45 says, a good tree can't produce bad fruit. And a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by what? Its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn. Hiya. Bushes and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Woo! You guys are smart, man. It's in there. Let it go. Let it go. We are bringing Jesus to those who are struggling, who are hurting and broken. In order for us to be his hands and feet, we have to be fully surrendered to Christ, allowing him to work in us and through us. And what we let in affects what comes out. What? Dude. Some dude up there in Orange today said to Wendy Davis the F-bomb. She said, what? Dude, she say something to the effect of, I'm sentencing you to a language school or something like that. Dudes, I don't know how much trouble you in when you in Orange, but pretty much you're in trouble. I would not recommend saying the F-bomb to Wendy Davis. Not probably the smartest thing you're going to do. We need to be in the Word, meditating on it and memorizing it so that it transforms our thinking and therefore our words and actions. Amen? All right, if you got a pen, write it down. If you got a phone, put it on your thing, because this is a very, very good scripture to read every day. Psalm 139:23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. It's scriptural, brothers and sisters. Yeah. It's scriptural. Is it hard? Absolutely. There are 5,000 men over there at that Allen County Jail, and there's about 35 of us in here, and we at 35 are the least. You hear me? Man, there ain't many of them want to come to a faith-based meeting. But you chose to. You chose to. You chose to. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Yeah, 139, 23, and 24. All right, so we're getting ready to wrap up here in about another hour, so just relax. Why y'all laugh all the time when I say that? This scripture in Jeremiah is referring to God bringing his people back, a promise of restoration. Brothers and sisters, I'm restored to my family. You are too. And some of you just ain't done it yet, or had it in done yet, but it's there. God's restoring you. God is restoring you to your family. Jeremiah 32, 38 through 40 said, "They will be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one purpose." You ready? "To worship me forever. For their own good." And you ready? "And for the good of all their descendants." Woo! Can I get an amen?
Amen.
"And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never," you hear that? "I will never stop doing good for them." That's Jesus Christ just said that. "I will put a desire in their hearts to worship me." Oh, and they will, ready? "Never leave me." That's what Jesus wants, family. That's what Jesus wants. What do you want? Joe, I'm proud of you, dude. I'm extremely proud of you.
Amen.
You brothers and sisters that are doing the right thing, I'm so proud of you. And you can have a healthy pride. Don't let anybody say, don't be proudful, that ain't good. Shut up. Shut up. If you get up and do what's right that day, and you can look yourself in the mirror and tell God, "Thank you for loving me," be proud of yourself. And we're going to wrap it up with this. It's done with mirrors. I got this off an old dude named Wyatt Molinax. So you all know Wyatt. You better meet him. If you don't know him, get to know him. "When you get what you want in your struggle for wealth, and the world makes you king for a day, just go to the mirror and look at yourself and see what that man has to say. For it isn't your father or mother or wife upon whose judgment you pass. The fellow whose verdict counts most in your life is the one staring back from the glass. Some people may think you're a straight shooting Tom and call you a wonderful guy. But the man in the glass says you're only a bum if you can't look him straight in the eye. He's the fellow to please, never mind all the rest. For he's with you clear to the end, and you passed your most dangerous, difficult test if the man in the glass is your friend. You may fool the world, you may fool the whole world down the pathway of years and get pats on the back as you pass, but your final reward will be heartaches and tears if you cheated the man in the glass." Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Family, too short out there to be messing around. Too short out there to be messing around. How many mentors we got in this room? You see those mentors? We're without jobs. We want to mentor you guys. We want to be truthful with you all. If you ever need us, we're a phone call away. Don't wait until I come into the jail and push the book cart. We're here to help. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and pray and get out of here.